Amen. Amen. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Deacon Andrew Harrison, to our deacons, officers, members, and to this music ministry this morning. Amen. We are truly excited, not only this morning, but we are excited for this afternoon. Amen. This evening, we would look forward to having a blessed time. We're grateful for our guest. Not only is he our guest this afternoon, he's our guest this morning. Amen. And he has been blessing our heart all weekend. I've been stealing opportunities during their rehearsals to come and listen and get my heart blessed by them. And so we do truly look forward to a blessed event on this afternoon. We do know that the choir has put in their part. They have put in their rehearsals. They have put in their time. And so we do solicit us to come and bring somebody with you to come and enjoy this musicale this evening at 4 o'clock. If you would, we would like to turn your attention to the theme, the text theme for today, Psalm 57. The scripture lesson is the theme. The musicale theme is "Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace," Psalms 57 and 7. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of David, these words are recorded. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. We read into your hearing Psalm 57, verse 7. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. For this morning, we would like to simply tag this text, "Sing it with your chest." Sing it with your chess. Since early church began, music has always been a part. It's always been an assumed part. In fact, many of the songs that the early believers sung was from the book of Psalms. They would sing the songs of David. They would sing the music that was written in the book of Psalms. All in light of Jesus Christ. When they heard the song, "The Lord is my shepherd," now they were able to have a name for that shepherd. When they heard the song, "The Lord is my light and the strength of my life," now they had a name for the Lord, and his name is Jesus. So music has been a part of the worship. It has set our hearts and get our appetite wet for the word of God. Music is different than preaching. Preaching, we try to get across the word. We try to take the text and present the text to you. But music is more for the heart. It's to get your heart prepared. Get your heart ready to receive a word from the Lord. It is an expression often of some of our deepest concerns. Somehow, some way, God moved on writers and composers that they were capable of capturing a moment that can resonate with all of us. One of the greatest writers of worship music of all time is King David. Many of the Psalms that we have in the book of Psalms was written by David. Because David was anointed to be king before he actually became king, many of the Psalms were written in that time frame. It's written between the time of his anointing and his actually becoming the king. Psalm 57 is one such psalm. We're told in the opening and introduction of this psalm is that it was written when David had fled from Saul into a cave. While David had been anointed as the future king of Israel and his respect among the people is growing, not everyone was eager to see David prosper. You see, Saul, the current king, despised David. He despised David's growing popularity. He despised David's fame. He despised David's gift. And he even despised David's relationship with the Lord. And because of this, King Saul became increasingly more jealous and angry, even to the point to determine that David must die. How can you stand on the battlefield representing your nation as he stood before Goliath, and now that nation has turned against him? Now David is the number one most hunted man. He's wanted by King David, and therefore he's wanted by all of Israel. But God had a plan for David. And even though Saul had intentions of destroying him, God was always protecting him. God was looking out for David long before Saul had his eye out on him. Even before Saul sought his life, God had already been protecting David. And so it's from this experience of hiding in a cave that Psalm 57 is written. Literally, Psalm 57 is composed of two parts, a plea for mercy and deliverance in verses 1 through 6, followed by a vow of praise to God for his faithfulness in verses 7 through 11. This is the song that came to David while he was pinned down, lonely and alone, cut off from the rest of the world. Everything that David had was doing him no good. His popularity was doing him no good. His fame was doing him no good. His record and his resume was doing him no good. David could shout out to those men that was out to get him, please spare me because I slayed Goliath. No, that wouldn't work for David. David had to write a new song. And I remember back in 85, 86, the song that we used to sing every Friday evening. It was not a church song, so I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I hate to bust anybody's bubble, but I wasn't saved all my life. It took God a minute to work on me. I tell people God got his shoes dirty when he came looking for me. He had to go wash his hands after fooling with me. But so in 85, 86, I wasn't as saved as I am now. I want you to know. And every Friday, the song that we would sing in the hallways of our high school was Prince Purple Rain. Because our school colors were purple and because it seemingly was raining every Friday, we would sing loud and proud, Purple Rain. You know how it is. Even now, when that song comes on, it reminds me of those feelings and emotions that I had almost 40 years ago. It fills my heart with excitement. It reminds me of the individuals that I had played with and had hung out with. It reminds me of the victories. It reminds me of the celebrations that we had. And all of this is triggered simply by a song. And so this morning, I wanted to know when your song comes on, how you feel today. I'm not talking about when your song comes on the radio. I'm not talking about when the song comes on, even in church. I'm talking about when your song hits your heart. Can you sing it with your chest? Simply meaning to express it, to say it like you mean it, to sing it with authority, to sing it with some boldness, sing it without reservation, sing it without holding back or being hesitant. How could David, in verse 7, say, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. How could he compose such a word even when he is alone, even when he is all by himself, even when his own country has made him number one most wanted man? Well, I'd like to suggest to you there are two reasons why David could have steadfast trust, why David's heart could be fixed, why David's heart could be set on the Lord. First, if you're going to have a steadfast heart, if you're going to have a fixed heart, your heart has to be broken. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but a steadfast heart comes after a heart is broken. It's some use of trials and tribulation. It's an understanding of the role of trouble in our lives. I know we live in a day and time where we'll do anything to avoid trouble. We'll lie on folk to avoid trouble. We'll blame other people to avoid trouble. We'll accuse anything and everybody all to avoid trouble. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that either you're going into trouble or you're going out of trouble, and some of us are in trouble right now. We always will be faced with trouble. If we've lived this life, Job said it is full of trouble. I remember I had trouble in elementary. I had trouble in middle school. I had trouble in high school. Even I had trouble in college. I've had trouble in my marriage. I had trouble with my children. I've had trouble even with my health. Yes, brothers and sisters, what do you do when you're surrounded with trouble? Yes. We're going to face some trials in this life. There's no way around it. It's a part of the fabric of this life. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if there is no test, there'll be no testimony. Without the test, without going through the ordeal, we can't come back on the other side and shout how I made it over. When I look back over my life, all of the trouble that I've been through, there has been a common denominator. God has always been right there. I remember growing up, I was blessed and grateful to have an active father in my life. He adored me. I bear his name. He did everything he could for me. But every day he would remind me there was a hand greater than his. He wanted me to know there's somebody else that I need to learn how to trust, even when I can't see him. Even when he is absent from me, even when I'm in one city and he's in another, I'm in one state and he's in another, he had to teach me how to trust in the hand that he was trusting. Why? Because he knew that there will be trouble. All of us, none of us is exempt from having trouble. All of David's trouble happens after David was anointed. All of David's trouble happened after he was already named the king. All of David's trouble began after he slew Goliath. And isn't that it with some of us? Some of us, we think that if we get married, we'll live a trouble-free life. And you don't know trouble like I know trouble. All the married folk know what I'm talking about. But that's part of life. That's part of the fabric. And David, too, had trouble. But yet, David learned how to sing it with his chest. David used his trouble. Listen to the trouble that David talks about. David says in verse 4, I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp spears. David says in verse 6, they spread a net for my feet. I will bow down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. Brothers and sisters, there's people that don't like you. They don't like where you live. They don't like you because of what you drive. They don't like you because of your clothes choice. They don't like that you're a member of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. They don't like it that you worship the Lord. You're going to have to get over it that there are going to be some people that don't like you. But thanks be to God, when people don't like you, I still have a God that loves me. God loves me in the crowd, and God loves me in the cave. God loves me in the community, but God loves me when I'm all by myself. David says, even in the midst of all that is trouble that is going on in my life, my heart is steadfast. My mind is made up. See, there's some decisions I've already made up in my mind. And it doesn't matter come what will or come what may. There are some decisions I already made. One example of a decision that I made that I'm going to find myself in somebody's church on Sunday morning. Amen. I made up in my mind that I'm going to do. Now, I ain't going to go around. I'm not doing the research no more. I'm not need no poll data. I don't need to run it up no flag and see who salutes. I've already made up in my heart is fixed. Why? Because God brought me through my trouble. My heart is fixed because the world broke it, but God fixed it. My heart is fixed because even in spite of all that I've been through, God had been with me. Oh, brothers and sisters, I haven't always been praising God. There have been times in my life when I was playing with God. There have been times in my life where I thought I could hide from God. I thought I could be holy on Sunday and be a sinner on Friday. Like some of you right now, you think you can live one way on the outside of the stained glass window and live a different way on the inside. But God can fix your heart. Even in spite of all of the trials, even in spite of the traumas and the troubles and the tests that David been through, David said, my heart is fixed. If you're going to sing it with your chest, you have to sing with a fixed heart that has been tested. Secondly, not only has your heart have to be tested, or it will be tested, your heart has to be tuned. It has to be tuned into God. Now, I don't know how to tune no instruments. I don't know how to tune no guitar. I don't know how to tune no organ or no piano. But I do know how to tune in to God. Listen. If you're going to tune in to God, you first must tune out the world. See, some of us can find a whole lot more peace if we learn how to turn off our phones. So some of us right now, we want to find out what celebrities have for breakfast, what color of socks they wear in the church. At some point, you got to tune out. At some point, I listen to secular radio. I do. I don't want to give them no pub, let them know, but I listen so I can deal with secular mind. Where their minds at? And it ain't the music. I'm not so prudish that the music offends me. But I listen to the commentary more, what the DJs are saying and what the announcers and what they're saying, because that's more the communication that I listen to. And every now and then I allow Bluey to my truck to be used in the ride share program here at Ebenezer. Every now and then I allow my truck, and so when I invite holy people to get in my truck and my music is playing, the first thing I gotta do is turn it off. See, if you're gonna tune in to God, there's some things you gotta tune out. You gotta tune out the homeboys. You gotta tune out the girlfriends. You gotta tune out the TV. You gotta tune out the radio. You gotta tune out, your social media. You gotta tune out all of these other things so that you can hear from the Lord. See, while David was running from Saul, he couldn't hear from the Lord. But when he got in the cave, when God cut them off. See, there's sometimes God gonna put you in a dark place so he can speak to you. There's a story of a man who bought him this, always wanted a fancy red Corvette. That's what he wanted in life, was a fancy red Corvette. And he finally saved up enough money to get him his shiny red Corvette. Took the roof down, and he was riding with the wind blowing in his face. He driving his brand new red Corvette. And out of nowhere, a brick came and hit the middle, right in the center of his hood, causing a brake dent on his brand new red Corvette. He pulled over. He was furious. He was mad. What happened? How could his beautiful, all that he had worked for and saved for, is now damaged? He looked around to find somebody to blame, somebody to accuse, and he saw two little boys on the sidewalk. And he went over to them. What happened? How did you throw this brick at my car? What going on? What's the problem here? And one of the little boys said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I'm sure my parents will take care of whatever the damage. But the problem is my brother fell out of his wheelchair, and I'm not strong enough to help him get back in. And I've been trying to weigh people down, trying to stop people, and nobody has stopped to help me." He said, "Until I threw that brick, you're the only one to stop to help me. But if you help me, my brother get in this wheelchair, I'm sure my father will pay for any damages." And the man's heart broke. Man felt bad. Here he is in this shiny new red Corvette, and he can't see a suffering child on the side of the road. He, even though he got his brand new red Corvette, he can't see hurting as he drive by. He got back in his car and he said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding me that you bless me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else." You see, brothers and sisters, God didn't just bless you to be a blessing. God bless you so that you can bless other people. See, we're not supposed to be storehouses of blessing. We're supposed to be warehouses of blessing. See, we don't store blessing, but blessings come through us when our heart is tuned into the Lord. Listen to David in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his heartache. David in verse 1 says, "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me." Now we've changed in theology because of Jesus Christ from David's theology. David's theology understood all suffering and as a result of sin. So God's suffering was because of sin. So if you're suffering, it's because of sin. You know the story of Job that God was trying to correct. But many of them still believe that because of suffering, they must have done something wrong, and therefore God was punishing them with the suffering. That's why David says, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." What David is simply saying, God, take away your judgment. Take your judgment from me. See, we live under grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. God gives us that which we do not deserve. God blessings that we did not earn, that we do not have a right to claim, but God gives it to us according to his grace. Well, mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. See, you woke up this morning because of God's mercy. Because last night should have been your last night. If it was God's justice. According to God's justice, all of us should die. All of us should be eliminated. All of us, because of the wages of sin is death. But because of God's mercy, withhold judgment, he allowed time to run on in our lives. David knew that if he was going to get out of this situation, he had to tune out the world and tune in to God. And one way that we tune into God is through prayer. Now, many of us, we need to keep up with your own prayer life. See, you can't pray at night and then get up in the morning and trying to mess it up and fix it yourself. If you're going to give it to the Lord when you lay down, then let the Lord handle it the next day. See, so many of us are so stressed out and all worried and caught up. We're trying to fix problems that nobody have asked you to fix. You ain't in charge. You ain't ready. You don't have the equipment. You don't have the resources. All you can do is worry yourself sick about something you can't have. You have to learn how to turn it over to the Lord. This is what David is doing. In the midst of all that's going on, David still turns it over to the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me. I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. David is mindful of the image of the eagle. When the eagle and the storm come, and the eagle protects his youth, it protects his young, it covers them with their wings. It takes on the storm himself. The parent takes on the weather, takes on the wind, takes on the rain. All the while the child is covered under their wings. That's what David is suggesting with God, is that God is still with me even in the midst of what I'm going through. And brothers and sisters, when you're tuned in to God, you know that God is with you regardless of what you're going through. Whatever you're faced with, God is with you. First, a steadfast heart is tested. Secondly, a steadfast heart is tuned into the Lord. I like what David says in verse 7, my heart, not my circumstances, not my situation, not all of my problems. See, brothers and sisters, if you're waiting on everything to get perfect before you get right with the Lord, you'll never get right with the Lord. You know, there's people that still say that. You think the church would have defeated that argument by now, but you still got people out there still saying, soon as I get my life together. I said, you ain't gonna ever get your life together. We need the Lord to get our lives together. A fixed heart, a steadfast trust is one that confidently trusts in God's power, believing that nothing is too difficult for him. See, we trust God not in spite of what we're going through, not because of what we're going through. We trust God in spite of it. I trust God before it, and I trust God through it, and I will trust God after it. A steadfast heart has firm resolve. The word here, fixed, means to be firm, to be stable, securely determined. This refers to a deep-seated purpose to remain committed to God and his purpose. David knew that God didn't bring him to this cave to leave him. And I don't know how he gonna get me out, but I know who is gonna get me out. I don't know when he gonna get me out, but I know who is gonna get me out. He have a firm resolve that the Lord will get you out. Then he's able to praise in all circumstances. The verse connects the steadfast heart directly to the act of singing and giving praise. This indicates a choice to express worship and gratitude to God, even when facing hardships and danger. Simply put, can you praise God without the organ? Can you praise God without the piano? Can you praise God without the choir? Can you praise God without the director? Can you praise God by yourself? Can you praise God when you're down and out? Can you praise God when others are talking about you? Can you praise God when your brand is out of style? Can you praise God in all circumstances? And when you're able to praise God in all circumstances, you'll have an inner peace in the midst of chaos. Yes, brothers and sisters, we ain't the ones that are losing our mind. They're the ones that are losing their mind. I am trusting in the Lord. The reason why I'm not panicked, because I know the Lord will work it out. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I do know the Lord will work it out. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is my first lifetime. This is the only lifetime I've had. But this ain't God's first lifetime. God been here since the beginning. This is not for God's first time dealing with a rogue nation. God knows how to deal with a nation like he knows how to deal with a person. God will handle it. We just have to trust him regardless of the situation. And that gives us an inner peace. Amen. That's why believers look better than sinners. Amen. You find somebody that been in the club for 40 years and have them stand by somebody that been in church for 40 years. You'll be able to tell the difference. You'll be able to see the evidence in their face. The problem, trying to deal with the world's problem. But we have the opportunity to cast our cares on the Lord who cares for us. It gives us a inner peace. But in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our heartache, in the midst of our pain, we ought to be able to sing it with your chest. Whatever your song is, you ought to sing it with your chest. Sing, order my steps. According to your word, sing it with your chest. Sing, guide me, O thou, O great Jehovah. You ought to sing it with your chest. You ought to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I can sing it with my chest. Sing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all. Not just on sunny days. All. Not just when everything is falling right. All the day long. We ought to be able to sing it with your chest. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning.